A long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to season 2, episode 17 of Coffee with a Side of Artie. I'm your host, Artie. And yes, this is a recording from a galaxy far, far away. I'm sorry, from a long, long time ago. I found it recently in my attic. Yeah, does that make sense? Yes, yes, I know. It's not May the 4th anymore, or May the 5th. You know, it's not May the 4th be with you, or Revenge of the 5th, or anything like that, but I'm going to talk about it anyways because it's still a big deal. It's still May the 4th around my house. We still talk about Star Wars. We talk about Star Wars even when it's not May the 4th. That's how great Star Wars is. And if you haven't seen Star Wars, well, I don't know what to tell you. You're missing out like crazy. Because it is one of the best series out there. You have 9 movies. You have countless TV shows. And then on top of that, you have it being talked about in movies and other TV shows since it aired in theater. Since it, like, premiered back in the, what was it, 70s? Was it the 70s? Yeah, back in 77. It's been talked about for so long. You know, movies, like I said, movie shows, there's video games. You have it everywhere. It's everywhere. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what I'm going to talk about today. I love Star Wars. Star Wars has been, I've been into Star Wars since I was a little kid, back in the 90s. And that's back when VHS was still a thing. My parents had it on VHS, you know, and then growing up with it, we just continuously got it because that's how great of a movie it is. It's so great, and it just brings everybody together. You know, like, the biggest genre that it creates is action and adventure. It does have some comedy in it. Not a lot, but some. And I'll give you this. It has some romance, you know? So, there's that. But it's just a great show. There's something for everybody, like I said. You know? And growing up with it, you understand it more and more. And you see it more and more. And you see something new, something different that you didn't see back when you were younger. You know, and then like I said, and that I'm just talking about the movies right now. I haven't even started talking about like the TV shows that's coming out with it, the video games that have come out with it. I haven't talked about any of that stuff, but we're gonna talk about the movies. You know, it all started with episode 6. When I was way off. Well, it's the morning. Give me a break. Episode 4. I'm sorry. Episode 4, Star Wars, A New Hope. You get introduced to Luke, Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. You also see R2-D2, C-3PO, and Darth Vader. And we're going to talk about each one of them. So first off, Luke Skywalker is the main guy. You know, he's the one that, how do I say it? He's kind of like, his lifestyle is like farm boy, but he wants to do more, but he doesn't want to betray his family that he's living with. Leia's a princess, and she's trying to fight. I'm blanking. Oh, I hate myself right now. This is like such a fake fan type of thing. My God, I'm so mad at myself. The Republic? The Empire. There we go. Okay. She's trying to fight the Empire because she's part of the Republic. And they've just been at a constant battle for a while. Not even for a while, for a long time. And another thing to think about when you think about these shows is that these shows go on a planetary scale. It's not just countries fighting. These are planets, you know, and it's, while it does deal with, like, democracy, it's still on that kind of scale. It's not just, you know, two states fighting or two cities fighting or two towns fighting. No, this is like planetary type things where it's like, yo, is your planet with us or not? And while she's fighting the Empire, that's where Darth Vader stands, and Darth Vader is the big bad guy, and he is just one of the biggest bad guys out there. I mean, he has shown a lot when it comes to being the big bad. He has paved the way for a lot. It's crazy. And then you have Han Solo and Chewbacca, who are the, I don't even know how to say it. Like, they play like these kind of slacker kind of characters who know what they're doing, but they're like, I don't want to do it unless it's for like a good amount of money, or unless it's for a good reason, or unless it shows me off some way, you know. And while it's kind of like in the beginning, you're kind of like, oh, like, stop being like jerks, you're like, actually, you know what, nah, I respect you guys. Obi-Wan Kenobi plays Luke Skywalker's like mentor, so he's just like the teacher type, which is really cool. And then you have R2-D2 and C-3PO, and yes, those names sound crazy, but that's because they are robots. And their friendship is hilarious. One, because when you go to the movie, or when you see these movies, R2-D2 talks in beeps, screeches, you know, he doesn't talk in any words or dialogue, whereas C-3PO, you know, when he introduces himself to anybody, he tells them, like, I can speak these many languages, so if you need me to translate, I'll translate. And sorry, I took a sip of coffee, but yeah, the A New Hope, like, I've watched so many documentaries about movies, about directors, about all of that kind of stuff, and George Lucas was so nervous in 77 about this movie. He did not think it was going to go well. And it shocked him. It shocked a lot of other directors because they thought this was like wannabe type stuff, and that, you know, they thought basically it was just crap, but it wasn't. It's a monumental movie. It's, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, it is, it's made a name for itself. It is something that, if you bring it up to somebody, maybe they haven't seen it, but they've definitely heard of it. And sometimes you just got to be the person to show them, you know. And then it kind of, I don't want to say it changes their life, but it changes their perspective on things, because these movies are just, what is the word I'm looking for? They're just that fantastic. You know, like, they have that much heart in them. They have that much, just, they have that oomph, that gusto that people look for in movies. And that's why, like, every few years, they end up coming back. You know, the first three came out in the 70s and in the 80s. And then the three after that started in 99, and then the early 2000s, and then the last three, the last one came out in 2019, you know. And then on top of that, they have other movies that are that came out that kind of go with the main story, but from different perspectives. These movies are monumental. I'm trying to think of the right word. I feel like there is a right word. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I backed away from the mic a little bit. But I feel like there is a right word for it. Like, these movies are... like, they're unforgettable. You will find them anywhere. You'll find people who love them anywhere. You'll find anything about them anywhere. Any TV show. There are TV shows nowadays. There are TV shows back in the 90s that will bring up some kind of Star Wars reference. You know, and then you have movies that do the same thing. And it's just like, these things, they're just talked about constantly. And it's awesome to see. It's awesome to hear. And then it just makes you think about, like, not so much you in general, but, like, you know, I've since high school, I've always wanted to be a writer. I've wanted to be an actor. I've wanted to be a director. And it's like, you look at these kind of movies and you're just like, these are the kind of things that I want to do, to where it creates its own universe, you know. And there's other movies, like I've talked about Harry Potter and how it's done the same thing. Like, Star Wars nowadays has done so in the fact that Disney World has a Star Wars area where you just feel like you're in the movies, and it's life, maybe not life-changing, but it's just, it's inspiring. You're in awe when you're there, because you're like, holy cow, like, I never dreamed that I would actually feel like I was in these movies, and Disney is doing that, and it's awesome. So yeah, they started off with A New Hope. The number 5, episode 5, is Empire Strikes Back, and that one was a turning point that nobody saw coming. You know, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, just letting you know. And if you have seen it, then you know what I'm talking about. Because, you know, I from what I've seen in documentaries and stuff, like, people are going to this movie and they're like, oh yeah, like, you know, the first one was fantastic, so this one's going to be even more just dope and badass. And then you go to the movies and, like, it's just a big turning point in the saga, and you're just like, oh my god. Well, they leave you kind of on a cliffhanger, and you're just like, no, I need to know. I need to see what happens. This cannot be the end, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and then they came out with episode 6, Return of the Jedi, and it was an epic conclusion. It was the epic conclusion for those three. But there was a lot of questions unanswered. There was a lot of theories, conspiracy theories, if you will, that people just started coming up with, that I feel intrigued George Lucas into, where he was like, you know what, let's expand this universe even more. And that's why when in the 90s he decided to come up with the prequels, you know. And the way he came out with these movies is different than what people are used to. Usually when people see sagas, it's always like you start off with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way down to whatever. The way this one happened was he started out with episode 4, 5, and 6, and then in the 90s it was episode 1, early 2000s, episode 2 and 3. So then you had 1 through 6, and you were like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then from like the 2010s area, he came out with episode 7, 8, 9, and then he came out with two other little stories that just dealt with other things. And then shows came out and cartoons, and it was just epic, you know. So getting back into it a little bit, episode 5, you get introduced to Yoda, and you get introduced to, is it Boba Fett? Django. I'm pretty sure it's Boba Fett. And then you get introduced to Jabba the Hutt and Lando Calrissian. And, you know, meeting these characters for the first time, you're like, whoa, like, these characters are really random, but, like, I like them. I'm intrigued. You know what I mean? And then you get to Return of the Jedi. Well, and so getting back to Empire Strikes Back, I mean, it kind of says it in the title. The Empire who is the bad side with Darth Vader and stuff. Like, they strike back. It's them showing the good guys, like, you don't want to mess with us, homie. And that's the turning point, and that's the part that people don't understand. Like I said, spoiler alert, but that's the part that people don't see, or that they didn't realize back then. And I think it would have been awesome to see these, like, firsthand, you know, but especially to see those kind of reactions, especially with, like, the big reveal that I'm not going to say, because it's just that big of a reveal. Excuse me. Excuse me. But there's that. I'm going to take a sip. And then in Return of the Jedi, like I said, it's just, it's the epic conclusion of the those three. You know, and it's the conclusion that makes the, that made the audience happy and made them understand the story a little bit. And then, like I said, I feel like after that, you had the fans start coming up with their own conspiracy theories about what was going on before that, what happens after that, all that kind of stuff. And then George Lucas was like, you know what? Let's show them what actually happened. So then he goes to the past of what happened before Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca, you know, before they were even thought up. And that's when Phantom Menace came out. And it shows you how badly the bad guys were. And the bad guys, I'm going to stop calling them bad guys. They're the Siths. You have the Jedi Knights, and then you have the Siths, and then you have everybody kind of in between those two. You know, like I said, you have the different planets, you have the different democracies, and stuff like that. So there's that. And it just shows, like, their battle with each other. But this one shows how it starts, because in this one, the Jedi's, you know, spoiler alert, so Phantom Menace, in this one, the Jedi's don't really know what's going to happen. They don't really know what to expect. And then when they find out that the Sith is a thing, you know, that's when they're like, okay, we need to start preparing ourselves for the big war. You know, and this movie is what kind of showcases that. Like I said, they didn't know what was happening. I'm sorry if you heard that noise. I'm trying to get my phone. I'm looking at my phone. But you get to see the start of all of these characters. Like, you see R2-D2 for the first time. You see C-3PO for the first time. You see Darth Vader before he becomes Darth Vader. You see Obi-Wan Kenobi back when he was just a Padawan. And a Padawan is a Jedi's, like a trainee. You know, so he's not like a full Jedi yet, to the point where, like, you remember him in Episode 6, A New Hope, and you're like, what? That was the guy that was training Luke Skywalker. And, like, now we're watching him being trained? Like, this is crazy. You see Yoda at a younger age. You know, and it's cool to see. So then you have that, and then you have it to where Obi-Wan Kenobi is training Anakin Skywalker. Come out to Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and that's when things start getting a little more hectic. You come to find out more about the Jedi and how they have, like, a prophecy that's supposed to happen, and it gets crazier, but at the same time, you're just following it, and you're just like, okay, this explains this from this movie, or this explains this from this movie, and it's just, again, you're in shock, you're in awe, because you're like, holy cow, I didn't think any of this stuff was gonna happen. So, you have that. You have, it was something that I didn't talk about in Episode 4, 5, and 6, are the Stormtroopers, and these guys work underneath Darth Vader and the Siths and the Empire. They're basically just like the soldiers. And in this movie, you're kind of introduced to them, but you don't know yet, so to speak, that they're the Stormtroopers, you know. Oh, crap, sorry. Spoiler alert. But that's how episode 2 goes, is you're introduced to these guys, and you're like, okay, like, these guys, you know, they look familiar, but let's see what happens. But you see them, and you're like, okay, these are definitely the stormtroopers, but it's like, but they're working with the Jedi, not with the bad guys. Like, what's going on? So it kind of gets you to thinking. And then the story just continues. I didn't say this, but spoiler alert, you find out in episode 6, well, you find out in episode 5 and in episode 6 that Darth Vader was once a Jedi Knight, and his name was Anakin Skywalker, you know? So you find out, and that's the big reveal that I was talking about in Empire Strikes Back, is you find out that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. I didn't give away some of the other spoilers that you find out, but that's like the biggest one. And again, it is like a monumental, like, cinema. It's talked about, you know, in so many documentaries that I've watched, where it's like the biggest reveal or the biggest plot twist, or you're just like, what? Like, the audience was just shocked and everybody's freaking out. So you get to these prequels and you see Anakin Skywalker kind of growing up, and he's becoming a Jedi, but he has a lot of fears, and that's what starts kind of bringing him to the dark side of the Force. And that's something, and again, that's another big thing that just goes with Star Wars. Like, when you talk about Star Wars, you got to talk about the Force, you got to talk about Jedis, you got to talk about Siths, all that kind of stuff. When it comes to Jedis, they have what's called the Force, where they have special abilities, they can sense danger, they can move things with their mind. They have a lot of special talents. But with that comes a lot of responsibilities. Like, they can't be falling in love, they can't be just killing unless it's kind of like absolutely necessary. And in episode 2, Attack of the Clones, you kind of see that Anakin falls off the wagon, quote unquote, of the Jedi Force, of the Jedi Knight prophecies or philosophies, you know. And again, you know him as Darth Vader, so you're just like, okay, like, you could kind of see it coming out. And that brings us to the ending. So at the end of this, he marries Princess Leia, Princess Leia. He marries Princess Queen Amidala. And he does it in secret because they both know that Jedi Knights are not supposed to be falling in love, because they'd end up doing anything for the loved one, or it could entrap them in different ways that Jedi Knights can't be entrapped, you know. So it's tough, but you see them get married and you're just like, okay, so something happens with her, and that's how he becomes Darth Vader. Come to episode 3, boom, you see him trying to become a Jedi, but the Jedi Temple is like, not yet. You're almost there, we just need you to pass like a few more tests. And he kind of gets a little impatient because he starts having visions and dreams of Padme, his wife, Queen Amidala, of her dying, and he doesn't want her to die. And that's something that the Jedi have warned, you know, their Padawans about, when it comes to falling in love, and why they don't fall in love, because this will push them to the edge, to where they tip over and they become a Sith Lord. And in this movie, he does end up becoming Darth Vader. And this movie is an epic movie. It has epic lightsaber fights. Sorry, I haven't explained that. The lightsaber is the weapon of choice for the Jedi Knights and for the Sith Lords, you know. So it has epic fights, it has, you know, the big storylines, and then at the end you see Queen Amidala, Princess or Padme having her babies, and she ends up passing away from birth. And she has two. So I didn't explain that from 4, 5, and 6, but in 3 she has two. And they get separated at birth, and then they kind of find each other in 4, 5, and 6. But as you can tell, one of them is Luke Skywalker, and that's what kind of keeps Darth Vader in that mindset of, like, hating himself in 4, 5, and 6. It's because he feels like the Jedi Knights didn't let him become so powerful enough to where he could have saved her. So he hates everybody for that. And again, it was epic storytelling, first off, because it's like so many questions answered, and then you had so many more questions being asked and all that stuff. And then that's when they started making their shows. They started on a Cartoon Network. It was Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and it shows you little things that happen in between episode 2 and episode 3 that lead to some of the big plot twists in episode 3. Granted, I've never seen the show, and I really need to, because I have a lot of questions unanswered, but I haven't, and that's on me. But yeah, those were epic, you know. And then everything was quiet for a while, and then how did we get the announcements? Let me see. We found out about okay, so 2014-ish is when the next three movies came out. It started with The Force Awakens, and these ones come back after episodes 4, 5, and 6. These are episodes 7, 8, and 9. So these ones are after Princess Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca, and Luke Skywalker's time. You know, so you're kind of taken into the future a little bit more. And it shows you what happened afterwards, and that the dark side still resided in the galaxy. And it was really cool. Everybody was excited, you know, seeing some of their favorite actors and actresses come back to play these characters, but older, and to play, just in general, just to see them come back and to see the story kind of continue. Because I don't know, after episode 6, everybody kind of didn't know what happened after that, you know. Like I said, they tried to figure out what happened before that, what made Darth Vader bad and all that stuff, and that's when 1, 2, and 3 answered those questions. So they didn't, like, they did have questions about after 4, 5, and 6, but they weren't as mega or as big as, you know, the before questions. So they had a lot of freedom when it came to writing these three, and they were just epic. In The Force Awakens, you find that there aren't really any Jedi in the world, or in the galaxy, but the Sith have kind of made a comeback, so they end up trying to find Jedis to fight the Sith, and that's why it's called The Force Awakens, is because, you know, the Force in the Jedi world was kind of dead, because nobody had heard from any of them. The last one was pretty much Luke Skywalker, and then whoever he trained, but with the people he trained, one of them ended up turning to the dark side and becoming a Sith Lord. So Luke Skywalker kind of shunned himself from the galaxy and that kind of stuff. So the Force kind of awoke in the new character. It was pretty epic. And then just seeing the Force evolve, and seeing some of the things evolve in this one was epic. I mean, first off, you saw, like I said, you saw the characters come back. You saw Chewie, Han Solo, Princess Leia. You had Luke Skywalker, you had C-3PO, you had R2-D2, and then you had new characters that you're just like, okay, I want to know their stories. And then after that, you had Episode 8, The Last Jedi, and that's the one where Luke Skywalker kind of makes his big comeback, and he starts training the newest Jedi that can actually tip the scale, you know, and bring peace and honor back to the galaxy. And then you have the last one, which is called The Rise of Skywalker, and it's, again, just the epic conclusion of those three, you know, and it shows how troubling being a Jedi can be, and how troubling being a Sith can be, but it also shows that you can tip the scales in your favor. Or not in your favor, but you can tip the scales without making too big of a ripple effect. You know, if that made any sense. But you had those. And then on top of that, you had these two little other movies that came out. You had one called Solo, A Star Wars Story. And it was basically like the origin story of Han Solo and how he became a smuggler? No. How he became Han Solo. How he became himself. You had that. It shows how him and Chewie met and how their friendship started, which was awesome. And then you have another one called Star Wars Rogue One. And this one, as far as time-lapsing goes, this one happens in between Episode 3 and Episode 4. And it's pretty epic. You know, it's a nice little interlude, if you will, between the two episodes, between the two movies. So yeah, there was that. Those are the movies so far. And then you had, like I said, you had the TV shows. You had Star Wars, The Clone Wars, which came out on Cartoon Network. And then you have the stuff that's come out now. You have The Mandalorian, and that's just an amazing show. First off, let me just start by saying Jon Favreau wrote it, he's directed most of it, he's produced all of it, and Jon Favreau is one of my favorite directors, writers, producers of all times. Like, his mindset is just fantastic, and this storyline is really cool. If you watch the movies, you know, you hear about Jango Fett, you hear about Boba Fett, and then you find out about these Mandalorians, and again, watching the Clone Wars, you hear about them even more, so you know a little bit more about them. But this one, I want to say, takes place between Episode 6 and 7. Yeah, between Episode 6 and 7. And it's just epic storytelling. And then on top of that, he brings in other directors, like Robert Rodriguez, who did the Spy Kids movies. He brings in Bryce Dallas Howard, who was the lady from Jurassic World, and she's an amazing director. He has the director who did, or who wrote for the Clone Wars, you know, that's his, like, partner in crime, and then he brings in actors and actresses from all over to play different characters, like John Leguizamo played a random alien, and then you had Jason Sudeikis, and I forgot who the other guy was, but they played stormtroopers, and Mickey Rourke played an alien, and it's amazing storytelling. So you have that. You have a new show that just came out called The Bad Batch, and it's a cartoon, and it's on Disney Plus. You have, am I missing any? I don't think I'm missing any right now, but you have other shows that are coming out. You have another one that brings back Boba Fett. You're gonna have more that bring back, there's a Jedi named Ahsoka. She's gonna have her own show, and it's just gonna be amazing storytelling. That's the beautiful thing about Star Wars. Like I said, this thing has become such a cinematic universe, and that is something that has grown, you know, from a lot of things. You have Marvel movies that do that. You have DC movies that do that. You have, but it Star Wars I feel like was the original one, like, as far as fantasy goes. You have mafia movies that have their own, like, cinematic universes and stuff like that, but this one, I feel like it started it all. You know, you have this, you have, like, the Jurassic Park cinematic universe, you have Marvel, you have DC, like I said, Marvel, DC, you have so many, and Star Wars has just always been there. You have Star Trek, too, but you have Star Wars, and with Star Wars, you have so many different fandoms that conspire and try to figure out the origin stories of their favorite characters, and then figure out what happened to their favorite characters as time moved on until their characters ended up passing away. And then you have fandoms to where they figure out why lightsabers are certain colors, or why certain names were chosen for those Sith lords, and stuff like that. And it's crazy and awesome to see at the same time, like, just how into this world the fandom is. You know, like, it just is. And you have, like, the Harry Potter universe and stuff like that, but this one has just kind of started it all. You have the people who make the ships, the spaceships. It's amazing. But the biggest ones are, like, the lightsabers. Like, each, when a Jedi Knight makes a lightsaber, there's a specific color that means specific things. Like, there's blue, there's green. You have a purple lightsaber that's held by Mace Windu. You have some that are yellow, some that are white, some that are black. And again, they all mean different things. And then you have different Jedis that have different beliefs. You have Siths. The Siths usually have red lightsabers. Then you have the ones that are made differently. Like, Kylo Ren is made in a T. And then, with just how much this saga means to my family, like, my older sister absolutely loves Kylo Ren. You know, she loves the actor who played him, Adam Driver, to the point where, like, she has so many different memorabilias of him. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty funny, you know. And then you have my dad, who loves Chewbacca. I don't think my mom told me her favorite character. But it's just, I mean, like I said, it's in everything. Excuse me. Right now, looking in my room, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Roughly 11 memorabilia, 11 different things that represent Star Wars. Posters, Funko Pops, art, and then just little trinkets, little toys here and there. And then the lightsabers, too. That's always been a big thing growing up, as I was, you know, wanted the lightsabers. And it's amazing. You know, and then, like I said, it's in everything. Like, watching a TV show, they'll bring it up. And it's not even just once, they'll bring it up in numerous episodes. And it's in different TV shows. It's in TV shows that you're just like, this has nothing to do with Star Wars, but, like, it can be brought up. You know, and then it's compared to different things, and it's just awesome. And then you have movies. There's a movie called Fanboys that came out in, like, the early 2000s, where they try to sneak onto Skywalker Ranch, and they're trying to see the Phantom Menace before it comes out, because one of their friends is passing away. Spoiler alert. But it's just, it's amazing. It's epic. Like I said, you can't. You know, you have, it's always gonna be in, like, the vault of, like, one of the greatest cinematic movies ever. You know, and I'm not saying all 9 of the movie, well, there's actually 11 movies. Not all 11 movies or their TV shows are going to be in them, but, you know, you're going to have some of them in it, and it's going to be awesome. And then how relatable some of the stuff is what helps make them so watchable. And then, like I said, you have new shows coming out. Another one that I forgot to mention that everybody's excited about is Obi-Wan Kenobi. They're making an Obi-Wan Kenobi series that takes place between episodes 3 and 4, as he's watching over Luke Skywalker as Luke Skywalker grows up. And that's, I'm excited about that because Ewan McGregor, who played the young Obi-Wan Kenobi in episodes 1, 2, and 3, is coming back to play him. And Hayden Christensen, who played Anakin Skywalker turning into Darth Vader in 1, 2, and 3, is coming back to play Darth Vader. And the reason why this episode is about Star Wars is because some of the lines that are always said around the world, you know, memorable lines that people say. One of the ones that I hear a lot here from my dad is when they talk about the Millennium Falcon and Han Solo says, "It made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs." And I've just always liked that line. And then there's Obi-Wan Kenobi from episode 3 when he goes, "Hello there." And that's a ringtone of mine. And then I have a ringtone of R2-D2 screeching as he's rolling down like the hallway. And he's like, "Wow!" You know, but the biggest line that gets said is, "May the Force be with you." And that's the Jedi's kind of telling each other, like, hey, like, you be careful out there. You know, and so this week, May the 4th has turned into Star Wars Day in public eye. So usually people say, "May the 4th be with you," and then we watch Star Wars. And then the 5th is usually Revenge of the 5th. You know, because of episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and it rhymes, but, yeah, I wanted to talk about how much Star Wars has meant to my family. You know, my dad loving A New Hope, and getting the majority of the family into it, and then taking us to go see the movies when they came out in theaters. Episodes 1, 2, I don't know, well, I might have been too young for 1 to remember that one, but 2, 3, and then 7, 8, and 9 was epic to see in the movie theaters. And it's amazing, you know. And this is like a movie suggestion, if you will, a saga suggestion, but it gets talked about so much that it's like, you gotta watch it, you know. And then you have TV shows, like I said, you have TV shows that talk about it. You have the Family Guy, you have Family Guy, who makes like a farce out of episodes 4, 5, and 6, and I'm kind of hoping that they do the rest of them. You know, you have jokes about them, you have SNL that have jokes about them. It's amazing. Like, these movies have just meant a lot to society, you know. So if you're looking for something new, check it out. I don't think I've ever met somebody that I've introduced it to that's regretted watching it. So if you do regret it, I'm sorry. If you don't regret it, hey, you're on the bandwagon now, buddy, you know. And then, like I said, just to live in that kind of universe, to be able to see it firsthand in Disney World, Disneyland, it would be awesome. You know, these movies are great. And, you know, even though it's not the 4th anymore, so stop rolling your eyes at me, please. That's how I'm gonna end it. I'm gonna say, May the 4th, just kidding, May the Force be with you. And just remember that there's always a light side and a dark side, and sometimes things just need to be talked out like they do, like they are in the movies. Alright? So, give a quick cheers. May the force be with you. Bye-bye.